How's everybody doing out there? Are you comfortable? I don't think comfort's a bad thing. I mean, I sure like it when I crawl into my bed at night. That's pretty comfortable. But, I mean, are you comfortable in your seat? See a lot of people sitting in the same spot they usually sit. See the Schaefer's mixed it up a little bit tonight. I like that. But sometimes I think we got to be careful that we don't get too comfortable in our walk with God. I think especially, I haven't lived in a foreign country yet, but especially here in America, I think we need to be careful because we have something called freedom of religion. But you see, in other countries where people are persecuted for their faith, they're either they're in or they're out. Because anything in between doesn't make sense. But somehow when we get this freedom of religion, we can make excuses that something in between, in or out, makes sense. I heard this question asked, like they asked somebody in China that had a belief in God what they thought about American Christians. And this was their response. They said, "I see nobody pressures you about your religion. So some of you relax and are not so concerned on Christ and on his teachings or how he wants you to live." You see, for some of us, when other people in other countries look at how we have a relaxed manner and how we serve God, they think we're crazy. Because over there, they're either in or out, because nothing in between makes sense, because they can actually die for their beliefs in God. Do we have freedom in Christ? Yes, yes, we definitely do. But the question is, what do we do with the freedom that we've been given? How do we serve? Is it in a relaxed manner? Do we serve only in part, but not in whole? Do we serve while still chasing after some form of the American dream? Or some other dreams that we've had that we wanted to complete? Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to have some plans in your life. It's definitely not bad to have some goals. But what I am saying is that we got to do an honest evaluation of ourselves and ask ourselves, are my plans getting in the way of what God wants out of me in life? Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, picking up in verse 1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh your God is testing you to find out if you love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow Yahweh your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. How we doing? Are we passing the test? said there in verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh your God is testing you to find out if you love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That can easily be determined by looking at what we're chasing after. By looking at what consumes the majority of our time. What are we living for? What takes that big chunk of our time up? Got an illustration for you about this. This rope is going to be a timeline. This represents a timeline. And I didn't get a long enough rope. But I want you to imagine that this rope just goes on forever. It does not stop. And this is a timeline of your entire existence. This little red part right here, that represents your life on this earth. And so often it's so easy to get so consumed on what takes place in this part of the timeline, not paying attention to this eternity that takes place after this. We get so caught up on our comfort here in this part of our timeline, whether it be, do I have the right job? Do I have the right car? Am I living in the house that I want to live in the right neighborhood? Do I like my neighbors? For some of us, it's just that we work really hard in this part so we can really, really enjoy that part right there. You put it in a perspective like that, it looks pretty foolish. But that's what we do so much of the time. We're so focused on something that doesn't really matter in the eternity of our existence. Are we playing it too safe? Are we too focused on our comfort? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. While we're turning, a little disclaimer. Often when I speak from what I'm hearing, what I think I'm not doing, and I'm just sharing it with you guys. But this is what's been going through my mind on what really matters. And in Romans chapter 12, really, we could just read this whole chapter and it'd preach the rest of my message for me. But we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. God doesn't ask us to be comfortable. He asks us to be transformed. And in that transforming, he asks us to trust him. Now this ain't a play it safe kind of trust. He asks us to put ourselves out there. Sometimes that's going to take a lot of faith. But he asks us to trust him in an unafraid manner, where we're not afraid to do something when he asks. He actually asks us sometimes to put ourselves in a situation that if he didn't come through, we would be in trouble. The benefit for that, though, is God always comes through. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9. When he was sending the boys out, he kind of put them in a situation here. In chapter 9, in verse 3, he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money. Do not even have two tunics apiece." Why did he send them out like that? He wanted them to trust him. Why did he want the boys to trust him? Because what they were going to encounter took that sort of faith to get through. And he was preparing them for what they were going to go through. He wanted them to trust him in everything and for everything. He really didn't want them to have a backup plan. He wanted to be the plan. Are we trusting him in everything? Or are we afraid we might lose what we have? And are we afraid to lose the comfort that we are now enjoying? I have this ladder here. Ladder represents our walk with God. It represents our building in faith. And before we get into Christ, we're just standing here on the ground. But then we take those correct steps, like the repentance and the belief and the confession and the immersion, and we step in to our walk with Christ. And now we started climbing this ladder of faith. And that first step is really quite easy. And that first step is pretty wide at the bottom. But then God is working on us and shaping us and molding us and teaching us. And we start climbing higher on this faith ladder, learning more of who we should really be. But the interesting thing is as we climb this ladder, the steps get smaller. And we get higher. And more faith is needed to make it to that next level. And so somewhere as we're walking here up this ladder, it's a tendency for us to stop at a point. And for some of us, we might look around. We'll be like, well, I'm doing better than that guy. I'm doing pretty good here. I mean, look where I started. And now I'm up here. I'm doing all right. I'm kind of comfortable here. That might be where some of us are at. Some others of us, we know who we are. We see where that next step is, and we know what the next thing is we need to do in our walk with God, but we know the faith it's going to take to get to that next step. And we're starting to get up here and it's getting a little uncomfortable. Or we're going to have to give up some comfort to get to that next step. And we're not ready to do that. We just want to sit here and hold on. Because we don't want to give up where we're at. We feel comfortable right here, holding on. Because if we continue to climb the ladder, more and more faith is going to be needed. And again, for some of us, we know where we're at and we know what we're capable of. But that means we're going to have to climb all the way to the top. So we just sit here and don't do nothing because we're not going to be comfortable at the top. To truly live for God in the manner that we should is not a comfortable thing. It takes a lot of faith, and it takes work. And I'm not saying that you won't have comfort in this life, but for some, it's an uncertainty if we will or if we won't. Are we passing the test? Are we clinging on to God? Are we clinging on to our comfort? Are we giving a fair amount of our time to God, but we're giving a bigger chunk of our time maintaining our comfort? There's quite a need for those who will be sold out to God. We can look at people we know that have been sold out to God and what they're able to accomplish. But they're only one person and they can only touch so many lives. There's a need for those who will take and put God first before their daily goals. There's also a need for those who will take time to build real relationships with their brothers and their sisters. So that we personally know somebody else at a deep level where we can actually help them be built up. This is a relationship. This sort of relationship, this sort of unity is actually something that Jesus prayed for. And we'll get there. But see, this unity that the New Testament church had, I believe, is not just something that can take place by a few of the lead guys doing the job. I'm going to do simple math here, but sometimes we have 150 people get together on a Sunday morning. If you take 10 lead guys, that's 15 people per guy. Nobody's got that much time to build a real relationship with 15 people. Really, at any time in your life, you can only hold a real relationship that's at a deep level with one or two people. See, there's a need there. Because everybody needs somebody. Now, I'm not trying to hurt any feelings, but I am going to be frank to make a point. I've been back around the assembly for about 7 years now. And during those 7 years, nobody tried to get to know me on a personal level. And again, I'm not saying that to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm saying it to make a point. Because if that's true with me, I'm sure it's true with a lot of other people. And the truth of the matter is neither did I. For so many years, I never tried to get to know anybody on a personal level. But I know where the problem lies. It's in two things. First of all, to get to know somebody on that sort of level, it may be a little uncomfortable. But the biggest problem lies in a phrase, I don't have time. But why don't we have time? It's because if we took some time towards that, it'd mean we'd take it away from some of our comfort. Whether that's the comfort of being home with our family, the comfort of getting that extra dollar so we can have this comfort or that comfort. Because to get to know somebody on that level, it's going to take serious time. It's not just an hour here or there. It's a serious time thing. It's not just having them over once a week. It's not just shaking their hand in the building, having a conversation while we're here. That's not unity. Think about if you spend an hour a week with your wife. Or you just shook your child's hand every now and then. Or you just had the family over once a week for dinner. Would you know them? Would there be any real unity there? The bottom line is that unless we take some serious time, we're not going to build each other up. And that's okay if you're fine with staying at the numbers we're at. That's okay if you're fine with being a mediocre Christian. And that's okay if we're willing to tell ourselves that we're at the top of the ladder. When we really know that we're just sitting there in the middle holding on. But you're the only one that's going to really know, you and God. You've got to do that honest evaluation of what you're capable with. And for some of us, we may not be capable of that at this time. For others, we may be capable of befriending another and building them up. And for others, it's a lot more than that because God has gifted some of us immensely. But will we waste the gifts that we've been given? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. works in the light of eternity. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, take notes. There's two ways to build there. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built upon remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So the question is, will your works last? The question is, are you content with getting to heaven with nothing but your skin? Because it told us right there that our works will be tested. What we do here, how we build, is going to be tested. And either they remain, and it's something that echoes into eternity, or else they're burnt up. We'll still make it to heaven, hopefully. But it just seems to me that all we do is walk in. But nothing we did down here had any lasting effect. You see, we have a painted picture of what our actions should look like. Here, we've had people that gone before us and showed us what it looks like. And when we look at the New Testament church, or when I do at least, and see what they were doing, I have to ask, are we missing something? Are we missing something that's needed to get to that next level? Now, I think we do a good job. But like I said, I don't think we're there yet. I think there's another level. And how do we get there? Honest questions. And I can't help but ask myself, am I doing my part? See, it ain't about what others are doing. It's about what I'm doing. Am I doing my part? Because as we talked about, you can't leave it up to just somebody else, because what needs to be accomplished is bigger than that. It takes more participation than just a few. It needs to be an honest evaluation of one's own heart to say, am I doing all I can? And we can't make that judgment based on how others are doing. We have to make that judgment based on what we read in the Scripture. We can't ask the question, am I comfortable with what I'm doing? We have to make a self-evaluation and say, am I capable of doing more? Am I capable of doing more? Am I capable of helping get to that next level? A level where we're more devoted to the things that matter for the kingdom of God than the things that matter for our comfort. That we will be so devoted to God that it might even mean that those comforts start disappearing. But that next level is where our comfort doesn't matter in light of God's will. And we start letting Him rewrite the pages of the plans that we had for our life. But the question is, how much are you willing to give up? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19, where that question was asked of a young man. And in Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 20. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Now jump over to verse 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will be there for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you shall sit up on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or farms for my name's sake shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life." Now I'm not saying go sell your house. Well, maybe I am. If it's getting in the way of your walk with God. But what I am saying is when we say we don't have time, why? Is it because if we took the time, it would mean we'd have to give up something else? What are we willing to give? Don't say it, unless you mean it. But to reach that next level, one thing is needed, and it's unity. And I told you Jesus prayed for a unity like that. And in John chapter 17, in verse 23, he said, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, and that the world may know that thou dost send me and dost love them, even as I dost love them." You see, he was praying for a unity that they would have, that they would be perfected in unity. But for that to happen, there needs to be some of us that are willing to step up and say, "I'm going to take a real interest in building somebody else up." Because let me ask you, how beneficial would it have been when you first got into Christ if one of your brothers or sisters said, "Okay, God, I'm going to take this one for you. I'm going to build this one up." And they came alongside you, they grabbed a hold of you and said, "This is how we walk. This is what looking like a Christian is, or walking like a Christian is." And they got to know you in a facet that they knew your struggle. And they could help you when you fell down, pick you back up, or maybe even help you before you got to that point because they knew you on a level where they saw that you were starting to slip. I think that would be very beneficial for a lot of us. I think it would still be beneficial for a lot of us that have been in Christ for a long time to have that sort of friendship with somebody. But why did Christ want that unity there? In verse 23. So that the world would know that God had sent him See, I see a benefit for a unity like that too. Because the world looks at us and they can see something that they're searching for. Because everybody wants a unity like that. But then, our unity points to God. And they really see why we have that. But see, here in America, I think sometimes we think we have this right to privacy. And it keeps us from opening our doors to people. And see, there's a problem with this. Because when a brother or a sister is struggling, especially those new Christians that come in, there's times they need somebody. And our door's not open. But you know whose door is? Door from where they came from. Because that world and those people they think they call friends, their arms are all wide open and they're saying, hey, come back and join us, friend. We've missed you. And so where they're looking for a friend to help them through a moment and our door's closed, where are they going to go? For some of them, it's back through the door that's open. And that's why maybe we don't see some of the faces we used to see. I heard a story from a man that actually has got the plan of salvation right. And he talked about a guy that he converted out of the gang life and brought into, this guy got immersed and accepted salvation and came into the church. And he started coming around for a while, and then he wasn't coming. And then this guy asked him, why aren't you coming anymore? And he said to him, when I got into this, I didn't understand it was just a Sunday, Wednesday thing. He said, when I got immersed, I thought it was going to be like when I got jumped into the game. I thought it was a 24/7, you've got my back. I thought it was a unity. I thought it was a family. Now, don't get me wrong. The gain is a very evil thing. But the gain does have a unity. They do have each other's back. And when somebody else can find more unity out there in the world than they can find in here, that starts asking me, are we missing something? Are we maybe not doing something quite right? Or could we do it maybe just better? Because when you start to look through the scriptures, there's definitely this picture of unity, and you can find it all over. But I'll just turn to a couple real quick. I'm getting close to the end here. I'm going to be a little bit over, guys. But Romans chapter 12. Told you it could preach my whole message for me. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 15. Timothy talking. But in the case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of support of truth. Are we behaving like we should in the household of God? Like I said, I think we do a great job. But are we to the picture that we see in the New Testament? I ask myself, you know, I think I seek God, but the question is, do I seek Him first? I mean, if God came and asked me to lay aside everything I had to do today, to do something for him. Would I be willing? Would I have the time? Would I make the time? What are we willing to give up in order to do the will of God? What does sold out living for God really look like? I kind of see it like this. It's a contract. Blank piece of paper. You sign your name at the bottom and you let God fill in the rest at his will. You see, I can see it in my own life sometimes. I have it all planned out and I have it packed full of what needs to be done. But then I ask myself, if the opportunity arose where someone needed an hour or two of my time today because either they needed to come to know the Lord, or there's somebody that already knows the Lord that needs a little building up, I ask myself, would I have time for that? Or would I have to say, I'll squeeze you in on Wednesday? You see, when my plans get in the way of God's will, I'm not serving God in the correct manner anymore, because it's my plans before Him. And the reason we don't get involved with others on a deep level is because it can disrupt our plans. And it can make us uncomfortable. But look at the New Testament. Look what God was able to do with 12 men that were sold out to Him. And how many people do we have here? Look what God was able to do through one man that was sold out to Him. Paul. That man did a lot. Again, an honest evaluation of yourself will tell you where you're at. The question is not, am I doing enough? The question should be, am I doing all I'm capable of? The question should be, am I doing His will? The question should be, is His will coming before the necessaries to maintain my comfort? You see, the Lord's testing you to see if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Mr. Miller said it in one of his messages at family camp, but it's true. It's often said that Christians need the world. That the world needs Christians. That's a true statement. But Christian, you also need the world. Because this world is the very perfect environment to produce those that are worthy to be called sons of God. Are you passing the test? It's a test of your heart. How much of it are you willing to give?